Welcome to the opening bell of the NFL Stock Exchange Podcast. I'm Trevor Sikkema. That is Connor Rogers joining you guys once again live and in person for an in-person mock draft here at Radio Row, Las Vegas, Nevada for Super Bowl Media Week. Connor, my friend, there's a lot going on here. I know you've done this before. This is my first time. Pretty overwhelming with all the people that are here, but it's good to see you, my friend. It's good to be talking draft with you
again. It's great to see you. Long time no see.
Yeah.
It is truly madness here. Like, you're just walking one way, and then, like, The Rock is being chased after by 30
this
people.
Is true. This is true.
You're just
well,
like,
30
what?
People, you were one of them, right?
Yeah, no. I just snuck into a selfie with him. Never.
Yeah.
Never that. No, it's awesome, man. It's a great environment, a lot of energy. This is my fifth day in Vegas. I'm holding on for dear life.
How long are you here for?
One more day.
Okay, right. You're okay. All right, all right.
No, I'm actually doing well.
You're holding up.
Considered. Emmett Smith said, you could look worse. Or something like that. Something like that. And just said, you guys need to get out of here. To all three of us on the happy hour set.
And you know what? He's not wrong.
No, I said, wrong. Emmett, I'm begging. I was like, I need a chopper.
And you've had, look, Vegas, it's easy to have exciting weeks. It really is. For anybody that hasn't been there, you need to get here. But, like, your week has been packed because you've been on the NBC desk all week. And then you went to Vegas Golden Knights, Edmonton Oilers game.
Yeah, streak's over.
And then you went to a concert in the Sphere.
Yeah, the Sphere. Wild show. The Sphere is unlike anything. It did live up
you're
to
on
the
media,
hype.
You're on a media tour yourself.
I kind of am, low-key. I'm just trying to enjoy as much of this as I can.
Yeah.
And then I'll go home and, like, actually be a human being again.
Yeah.
Super Bowl week's fun, man.
For, like, a week and a half, and then we got Combine.
And then we're back at the Combine, and we'll be doing this again.
And then we will be doing this again.
All things considered, I'm sure you probably feel the same way. Combine's my favorite event.
Without question.
Super Bowl,
yes.
It's fun. Like, there's so many people around here. The guests are great. The people are great. We were lucky enough we get to do this.
Yep.
But the Combine, everyone that's here, it's like their brain flips over to the draft.
Yes.
And it's such a great environment.
I was just talking about that with Brad Spielberger this morning. This is a fun event, but there's a lot of different stuff that's going on. Obviously, there's the game on Sunday, but a lot of what happens at Media Week isn't even about the game that's going on Sunday.
Football.
It's just, like, crazy media stuff. When you go to the Combine, obviously, people who listen to this podcast, it's draft-centric, right? And
right.
It's kind of like our wheelhouse, our bread and butter. And, like, when you go out to people and you have conversation with people, everything starts with something about the draft. So I agree
exactly.
with you. I love the Combine as well. Well, today, we're keeping it draft-centric. We're bringing draft topics here to Super Bowl Media Week, and we are looking at Lance Zierlein's Mock Draft 1.0. Lance, good friend of the show. We've had him on a couple of times before. I believe he's made a couple of guest mock draft picks for us in our guest mock draft series.
When we did that 2 years ago.
Over the years, yes.
We got to see Lance at the Senior Bowl on the field.
Yes.
He's one of the best people you could just chat
Lance
with.
Lance is awesome.
He is truly one of the best people in the industry.
So, works for NFL Network, NFL.com. That's where you can go read the mock draft. We're going to be going over it on the show, but of course, go check it out. Give Lance the clicks. He absolutely deserves it.
He's
the good
fearless.
Guys in the business.
Like when he writes his takes and it's Lance.
I'm going to be honest. I got 5 picks into this mock draft, and I texted Connor. I was like, this is what we're doing for the show.
Gotta
so
have
I have
it.
Not seen picks 5 through 32 or whatever
react
it
naturally.
Is. 100%.
Yep.
100%.
So
we're on the same page here. I actually texted Lance because I was like, you want to come on the show and talk about your mock draft? But he's actually not here. He's not here this week. We have to catch up with him. Maybe we'll do something with him.
Who is this? Just kidding.
No, that was my dad who said that.
oh, man.
All right. So, okay. Let's – before we get into this, I do have a story that's for the podcast.
But I mean to ask you, like, I want to know about your week. I don't care about me going to the hockey game or the Sphere. Like, I've seen you for an hour this week.
This is true.
I spent my
this
whole life with you last week.
And you're, like, 25 feet away. Like, the set's 25 feet away.
I text you. I go, where are you? And you just sent a picture of me. I was like,
like
great.
A true stalker.
Yes.
So, okay. One, got to talk with Spencer Rattler, South Carolina quarterback, MVP of the Senior Bowl.
That's
and
right.
He was awesome. Really good dude. Really down-to-earth dude. We'll probably have some shorts on that here on the channel that you guys will get to see some of the questions that I asked him. But you never know who you're going to run into here at Super Bowl Media Week. So I'm standing kind of off to the side of the table. I think Sam and Steve were recording something here on the set. And somebody comes up to me, taps me on the shoulder, and I look over, and it's Michael Wilson. Anybody who listened to the show last year knows the special connection this show has with Arizona Cardinals wide receiver Michael Wilson. And he came up to me. He's like, dude, I just wanted to meet you. Like, I kind of have been following your stuff.
Wild.
I recognize you. He's like, I know that you were caping for me during the draft process and everything. So, Michael Wilson. Follower and addict of the pod.
A true celebrity addict, I guess we can call it.
Dude.
I don't know what, like, just
He was also really cool, man. I asked him about his first year. Obviously, a great rookie year. I asked him, like, hey, how's the health of everything going on? He's like, dude, I'm all good to go. Had a good rookie year. Can't wait to kind of hit the ground running with Kyler next year. He spoke very highly of the front office and the coaching staff. And he said, you know, from what I heard, it wasn't so great before this current regime that's in there. And he's like, that's not the case now. You got a lot of the right people in there. So Cardinals fans, I know you listen to this podcast, from Michael Wilson himself, he's very excited about what we got moving forward. But that was really cool, man. Just to talk about that, to talk about him so much, for him to be like one of my guys, then to get to meet him in person.
You deserve that.
So, thank you. I really do. It's been tough for me. I really do deserve this.
I'm glad he appreciates that. It's cool to hear. And you should have, like, when you did your sign off, you should kind of like gave him the slap and been like, you and Marv are going to be dynamic together, and just walk away.
Oh.
Yeah. He probably feels it.
I should have.
Yeah, he probably feels it.
We exchange contact information. I'll hit him up. You know, if Maserati Marv becomes a teammate, I'll hit him up and see and see what his reaction is. So, hey, let's get into this mock draft, though. I really want to start and get into it. Like we said, we got to the first five picks, and we got to pick five. And they were like, all right, we got to talk about this here on the podcast. One, chalk. It's Caleb Williams to the Chicago Bears. It feels like this is truly getting to the consensus. And
yeah, we're almost
there. The debate for a while has been, do you go Drake May? Do you go Caleb Williams? This mock draft, and we'll get to this in a second, is the first time it's been, okay, the debate between Jaden Daniels and Drake May seems to be a lot closer than Drake May to Caleb Williams, because at pick number two, the Washington Commanders, Lance does have them taking Jaden Daniels as the second quarterback off the board. What do you think?
Man, it's a big surprise, right? We've just been kind of well-oiled at this point that it's Drake May number two.
Right.
The Commanders need a quarterback. It'll be interesting to see who Adam Peters values skill set-wise, because Jaden is an electric dual-threat player.
Yep.
I know Drake May is a bigger player. I think he's able to withstand more hits. I think he's a little bit more accurate, in my opinion. Not that Jaden's not accurate, but I think that what Drake was able to do at all three levels of the field as a passer, I like better. But there's just no denying how much more of a dynamic electric runner Jaden Daniels is and how much that matters in today's game.
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit more about May when we get to May's selection, because it's a fun one in this mock draft. But just for Jaden specifically, I do feel as though, and Lance notes this here in the mock draft, the draft's top dual threat quarterback. And I think that means a lot, because in today's game, you see a lot of offensive coordinators being very willing to get their quarterback involved in the run game and put stress on the defense as much as possible. You know, going back to my conversation that I was having with Michael Wilson, he was talking with me about Kyler Murray, and he's like, look, we are kind of a run first team, and Kyler is an element of that. Like, it allows us to establish our identity. And so when you have a quarterback who can not only, I think when we talk about mobility, sometimes we think just escapability, scramble ability. Those almost just like scramble drill plays, but it's more than that.
He's a runner.
When you have this kind of ability, you can throw a lot of RPOs in there. All of a sudden, play action boots become a lot more dangerous to cover. And so I get why teams really love Jaden Daniels. And when we started to see him more in the top five, it was vindicating from what we believed of him. But man, I just, him as QB2, hadn't seen
that's
that
a big
yet.
Difference.
I have not seen that yet.
No, and you know what? They hired Cliff Kingsbury. So
they did, yeah.
He's going to be a big part of that process, because their head coach and Dan Quinn is a defensive guy, not that Quinn's not involved in the process. Ultimately, it's Peter's pick, so we'll see. You got to realize Peters was a big part of the regime that moved up for Trey Lance. There might be a value of mobility. We don't know, and that didn't work. So is that going to change his tactics of drafting a quarterback? These are all things we don't know, because he's never been the guy anywhere. It would surprise me if we get to the draft and Drake May, it's Jaden Daniels over Drake May at two.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. I shouldn't always use big surprise, because Lance is he's a plugged-in guy.
Very.
And his mock drafts mean a lot.
Yeah. Number three, we don't go quarterback.
Yeah.
He has the New England Patriots taking Marvin Harrison Jr., so I don't get to text Michael Wilson and say, hey, congrats on getting Maserati Marv. We'll get to that in a second. But I was having this conversation with Steven Sam from the PFF pod not too long ago. We talk about how great Marvin Harrison Jr. is, and he is. I mean, he is an incredible dynamic weapon. But when you look at the way the Patriots are currently set up on offense, they can't go into next year with Mac Jones as your starting quarterback or Bailey Zappe.
It's hard to picture Mac being there.
And basically, I don't think from the things that we have learned kind of around here from about Baker Mayfield, it does not sound like he's getting out of Tampa.
I would be surprised.
So who's the other option? Would you really signing Kirk?
He's not going there.
You really signing Kirk to this team?
I'd be really shocked if Kirk Cousins goes there.
So I understand that Jerod Mayo is somebody who is like, all right, I don't want to force it. My first time as head coach, and we're working with Eli Wolf as well, who's still in charge.
They're not a GM.
Right, and I think isn't Wolf going to be like the de facto GM, I think?
Well, that's what a lot of people think.
Head decision maker, but whatever. It's a lot of the same regime. Can you really nitpick Drake May that much?
No, you can't.
To not take him at three?
You have to take him at three.
I feel like you can.
You have to take him at three.
I agree.
There's just no way around it.
I agree with you. But they get Marvin Harrison, obviously he's a phenomenal player. This one I do want to talk with you about because Arizona Cardinals is number four. They do get a wide receiver. It's wide receiver two off the board. That is Romo Dunze. You had the chance to sit down with him here at Super Bowl Media Week when you were doing your thing for NBC. What did you think of Rome getting to meet him in person?
I love talking to Romo Dunze, man. It all makes sense when you watch a guy that we like the summer scouting tape a lot.
Yep.
But we knew there were things he had to work on, and he hit the contested catch rate, the way it went up and everything, and you ask him, you hear about him working out with the basketball team, doing rebounding drills, the work ethic, the toughness. We asked him about the injuries he dealt with this year where he couldn't fly home with the team. He had to drive home with the team. His response is, I love that aspect of football. Like, it's a game where pain tolerance and playing through things is a big part of it, and he loves it, and he's a professional. He's incredibly talented. You could see how highly competitive he is. His rapport with his quarterback, Michael Penix, they're both here.
Yeah.
Rome is – it's hard to see a world where Rome just isn't a really good NFL player. I mean, it's all put together there. And he's – the work ethic is what stands out to me, Trevor. Like,
yeah.
He just keeps getting better.
Yep.
And his mindset, he's so driven that he's going really, really early. How about the player comparison, though, from Lance in this?
My Confro Dunze is Larry Fitzgerald.
Cardinals fans probably enjoyed seeing that.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's high praise, man. I mean, Fitzgerald, one of the best Hall of Fame type of player, no question about it.
You know what's funny? Not to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Rome's favorite player he liked talking about, Devin Hester.
Whoa.
Like, right? You don't expect that. He talked about, like, the different release packages of Devontae and what he studies, but just as a fan, as a kid, he was really big Devin Hester guy, and he said he was obsessed with what he could do with the ball in his hands.
Man.
Yeah.
You like hearing that.
You get the same answer every time. Devontae Adams, you know, maybe now Jamar Chase will be talked about a lot, but the Devin Hester answer was cool.
No, it's great because we boast – we boast for Romo Dunze the athletic ability that he has as an after-catch type of wide receiver, and you don't think that with a guy who's 6'3", 215 pounds. And for him to go like, yeah, I love Devin, it makes a lot of sense. When the ball gets in his hand, he immediately flips the switch. And he's like, okay, now I'm a playmaker.
Right.
Like, I'm not just a pass catcher. Now I'm a playmaker. And so, you know, I've had some people, comment sections, Twitter, Instagram, have hit me up and been like, hey, like, I'm starting to see a lot more people with Rome as that wide receiver too. And I feel like we tried to tell people that this is absolutely plausible, and even though I have neighbors as wide receiver two,
me too,
it's hard to say that it's wrong, right? But just because these two guys are
so different,
good,
they're
so talented. So
right.
I really don't have any problem with Rome going as wide receiver two. I
would
have picked a different receiver, but you're not going to hear me go like, oh, we got to criticize this or bring the grade down for any reason.
No, without a doubt. And then after that, we get the big one in trade.
This was the showstopper.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I just peeked at six, and I hadn't seen six yet, and I can't wait to talk about it. So, number five, though, it's the Atlanta Falcons trading up to number five with the Chargers. So, the Chargers move back just three picks. Falcons pop up. They get Drake May. So they trade up to go get a quarterback. And this is another situation sort of like the New England Patriots where we go, you can't go into the year with Desmond Ridder. You can't.
You can't
go in with Taylor Heineke, like a stopgap quarterback. You already did that last year.
Right.
So this is the team that you and I have talked about before. This is desperation hours for them in the draft. It's not going to be desperation hours, I don't think, in free agency. A move like this is plausible, although I don't think that Drake is going to make it to number five. What do you think about the Falcons being the aggressive team to move up here?
Well, I love it. If May really fell down the board,
it would be a home run.
Call and pay the price. I mean, call and pay the price.
Yes.
And in this situation, they do that with a team in the Chargers that already has their guy. The Chargers moving back. I like both ends of this trade. The Chargers moving back a little bit, getting more draft assets,
sure,
is a great strategy for them.
Yep.
For the Falcons, you have to do this. Now, we do wonder how plausible this scenario is, and it makes you wonder if the Falcons don't go into free agency with a guy, which is hard to do, and they get stuck at eight and the three quarterbacks go, are they going to tap into that next market of Nix, Penix, McCarthy? But this is a dream scenario for them.
100%.
Where if I just, it's hard for me to wrap my head around those three quarterbacks not going in the top three picks.
Yeah. So, you know, when I saw this pick in the mock, I ended up doing an article for PFF.com just reviewing the things that Drake has done over the last 2 years. And specifically something I highlighted, because we've talked a lot about the stable metrics, you know, his passing grade from a clean pocket, standard dropbacks, things like that. Very good in all early down situations. Grades very, very well for us. He's in the 80th or 90th percentile as a passer over the last 2 years, which larger sample size, the PFF grades mean more when you can have more sample size right to choose from, because it shows that it's more of a stable grade, a stable metric. But the area that I love the most about Drake May is he is a comfortable, experienced, over-the-middle passer. You know, and it's not that Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels never throw over the middle of the field, but I went back and I looked specifically throws from 10 to 20 yards past the line of scrimmage, which is kind of like that key area where if you can stress this area of the field, you're putting a lot of work and a lot of pressure at the linebacker level and what a team can do with their safeties. And that ultimately judges how much pressure you could bring to the pocket, what you do with the corners. If you could attack the middle of the field consistently, you really put pressure on a defense. Drake May, most pass between him and the other three quarterbacks, most passing attempts over that part of the field, most big time throws, lowest turnover worthy play percentage, basically the same quarterback rating, air yardage, adjusted completion percentage, and he's the one who has the bigger throws, the lower turnover worthy plays, and the more experience in that area. To me, it's just, look, crazy things happen in the NFL draft. He could never get past five. Like, five is, to me, the ultimate floor for Drake May.
For a
situation exactly like this. I hadn't seen it yet, but I cannot imagine him having a flaw more than this.
Neither can I. And all the things you mentioned is why we haven't ranked quarterbacks yet.
Yeah.
There's a world to me.
Oh, it's coming,
that
folks.
He's the most intriguing one in the class. I don't know how I'll end up stacking it with him and Caleb, but he's younger than Jaden Daniels, and I think he does a lot of things better than Jaden Daniels, where I mean, he's more in play to be the top quarterback to me than the number three quarterback to me, if that makes sense.
So I would have totally agreed with you like a week ago. And now it feels like that might not be the case. Because Lance saying this, he's not the only one who said it. You know, we talked to people in Mobile even a little bit, where it's like, hey, some people love May, but some people, okay, maybe not as hot. Maybe didn't think that what they saw from the hype is what we saw from his tape this past year. So I don't know. I'm excited to get the quarterbacks.
Great move for Atlanta, though.
To take a deep dive. New York Giants.
Maybe the biggest surprise.
Talize Fuaga, baby.
First tackle off the board.
First tackle off the board. Now, look, we love Talize Fuaga on this podcast.
We do.
Both of us have Joe Alt as offensive tackle one, and so both of us would probably go Alt. I don't want to speak for you, but I think we've done that before.
Yes, Alt here.
At number six. But the love that we're getting for this dude in the same tier as Joe Alt and as Olufoshanu, I love that Fuaga's getting his respect, especially coming off of a Mobile performance.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like Fuaga, you know, coming off the, like you said, coming off the Senior Bowl, like everybody's crunk off Fuaga right now. Everybody just saw him out there and they're like, yep.
What was the word?
Crunk off the Senior Bowl.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that's the word that we got in
that
there.
That is absolutely how we're describing this, where I think it'll wear off after the combine and we'll get back to all in Fashanu again. But man, good for him though, because this is somebody that for the longest time felt like just a dude at the end of the first round, and everybody got to see physically how imposing he is in Mobile.
Yep.
And that I like that Lance highlights his pass protection in the blurb of this, because so many people think Fuaga can't play tackle, and I'm just not there. I think he has shortcomings at times pass protecting, but all college tackles do.
Yeah.
I think this is a good highlight that nobody's higher on Fuaga in the draft circle than the actual league right now. Like, it has taken a shape of its own.
I love it.
It really has.
We've been talking about this guy since October, and we've been talking about how much fun he is and how much we still believe that he could play tackle, and I love the fact that the intel that we're getting from the league seems like they're going to think that as well. He's going to get that chance to play tackle. Because we've talked about this too. Is he going to be a Peter Skoronski type of a player? And Skoronski did not get that chance.
No,
and
that's all, threw him at guard.
And that's all we really want. Like, okay, if Fuaga's best spot is at guard ultimately, fine. But you let him fail at tackle first. Like, give him the chance. And I just don't agree with the Titans just immediately kicking Peter Skoronski inside, which, speaking to the Titans, they go Joe Alt at number 7.
Oh,
so,
man.
Another great offensive line
Skoronski,
pick.
You're staying home, buddy.
Dude, well, I mean, and that's left side of the offensive line is D2 Mighty Ducks, the Bash Brothers.
What
I mean,
like, they're dreams gonna, are made of.
Yeah, that's gonna be absolutely beautiful. We love the offensive line pick for the Titans.
Is Tennessee the most predictable team in the top 10 outside of the quarterback scenarios?
They should be.
I just feel like it's whoever the top tackle is to you, write them for Tennessee.
But I also didn't think they'd get rid of Mike Vrabel.
Good point.
So
we don't know enough about Ran yet.
Right. So I think this is a big time draft where we're gonna see Ran Carthen's fingerprints all over it, to where we can start to be like, okay, this is the type of kind of GM that you are. This is what you gravitate towards. This is where we're going.
This next one is now becoming a trend. It's not a blip.
I know,
anymore.
Man.
Terrion Arnold, 8th to the Chargers.
8th overall.
Mr. Top 10, Terrion Arnold.
So Daniel Jeremiah, we went over his first round mock draft not too long ago here on this show. He released his top 50. Arnold was, what, top 10 to be safe. I can't remember exactly where he was, but had him as CB1.
Yeah.
Going
5th to the Chargers.
Yeah, he did go 5 to the Chargers.
And now he goes 8th to the Chargers.
And doesn't DJ have good Chargers connections?
Worked with Ortiz in Baltimore.
Very interesting. They need
a smoke screen.
They need a corner. There's no doubt about it. I think Jim Harbaugh coming in, obviously he's going to have a big say in what happens on draft day. But he has them going Terrion Arnold as the first corner off the board. Chicago Bears at number 9. It's basically, when you read mock drafts, Chicago's either Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers. Which one is still left amongst those two guys? And they do end up getting Malik Nabers. And Nabers and DJ Moore.
Oh. It feels Miami-ish in terms of how you build an offense. You just got these two high flyers that you create all this space. And they stress you so much underneath. But then they stress you so much vertically.
Yeah.
Where your head's just spinning. I'm obsessed with Nabers going to Chicago.
Yeah.
Every time I do any Chicago media, I'm like, I need this to happen for my own entertainment.
I think that it would
be Shane Waldron, who really knew how to use Lockett and Metcalf, two guys that could stress the field.
Did you see the Jackson Smith and Jaywood clip that was going around this week?
No.
You didn't see this?
No.
Oh, no. So
I've just been at the Sphere for 14 hours. It's very hard to get out.
I saw the guy climbed up to the top of it yesterday.
I've heard this, yes.
And there's like video of it. I almost texted you. I was like, oh, you made it.
Yeah.
Like, you made it to the
sphere.
And then
I just dropped down. Yeah. Like a little parachute. I take off this jacket and hold it on my head like Link in Zelda. Yeah.
So, anyways, JSN. So, JSN, Seattle Seahawks wide receiver. So, he worked with Shane Waldron this past year. He was doing interviews around here, and one of the shows, I think it was like a Chicago show, and they're like, oh, like, what do you think of like Shane Waldron? And he's like, and then he like looks at the host and he goes, is this live? And the host is like, yeah, this is live. And he's like,
love him.
He's a great dude. He's a great guy. And people were like, oh no.
Wow.
But I think a couple of Seahawks fans kind of were like quote tweeting it, were like, okay, JSN probably was upset that he didn't get the ball more in an offense where you're playing with two Pro Bowl wide receivers.
Play enough in the beginning.
Well, he didn't play a lot in the beginning, but I feel like that was almost like he wanted to be in the offense sooner. And
I agree.
You're playing with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Like, they're going to get the football. And I think maybe there was a little bit of he thought he should have got the ball a little bit more.
Yeah, and I get
from
it.
From that, so I get it, but just that was a moment where I was like, ooh, not great. Because I like Waldron. I think he could be a good fit for them there. New York Jets, your New York Jets. Taking J.C. Latham with Olu Fashanu still on the board. Again, I have not read this whole mock, so we are going through this in real time. What do you think about Latham over Olu?
It just feels like Becton and Werps all over again. I hate to say it, but 2020, the Jets were picking, I think, 11th.
Mm.
They take Mekhi Becton instead of Tristan Werps.
Because of the size?
Because of the size.
Because obviously J.C. Latham.
J.C. Latham's 360.
He's a big boy.
This is such a hard sell for me.
Are they going to make that mistake again? I feel like they won't.
I pray that they don't.
Hey, no, we're not saying that J.C. Latham's for sure going to be Mekhi Becton. But
No. That's not fair to J.C. Latham.
Yeah.
Although I think I liked Becton better than I liked Latham. Or pretty similar. Like, more towards the end of round one.
I was probably similar, but now that has not worked, and I think the reason why it hasn't worked is a health perspective, right? I mean, like, the guy can't stay on the field. The guy's not been able to progress.
And then he wasn't able to develop because he wasn't on the field.
Right, right. So it is tough when you get these super-sized players, right? Tavondre Sweat's kind of the same way. People talk about Tavondre Sweat as a first-round caliber player, and maybe he does go in the first round. But when I look at Tavondre Sweat, it's like, yeah, you get good flashes of him, but is this a three-down player?
You play
like,
he's more pushed, than seven snaps a game.
He's playing. He's pushing 380. And people go, oh, he's Jordan Davis. It's Jordan Davis is a crazy athlete for his size, man.
I think he's bigger.
He's four Bills?
Well, hopefully
four
he's Benjamins? Got time for the count. He
four
could,
Benjamins?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Not weighing at Senior Bowl was...
glaringly...
wild.
Yeah.
Back to this pick.
Yeah.
I think it's more... it's not about Latham. What is going on with Olu Fashanu right now?
I love this player. Don't trust him taking on power. It's a grown person's game.
Isn't he 21? I mean, he's
young.
Gonna get stronger.
I think he's 21.
He's a two-year starter.
And he's 21.
I think we are.
Hold on though. You got to think about where he's coming from too. Penn State's got one of the best strength and conditioning programs in the country.
They do, but this dude was playing basketball till when?
He's probably playing basketball now.
Probably
9 a.m.
He was not a football lifer.
Yeah.
I just think there's a lot of context missing with Fashanu. I'd be crushed.
You know me. I like Latham. Yeah. I'd still take Olu over
Latham. The Jets need a left tackle. They also need a right tackle. But we also need a house. We need a roof.
We're starving over here.
We need everything.
All right, so we're going to get to the other picks outside of the top 10. Before we get to that, speaking of a house and a roof, if you got a family out there, you got to get term and life insurance to protect them. One of the smartest financial decisions that you can make, and start of the new year, it's the perfect time to get it done so you can focus on whatever else the year has in store for you. Fabric was designed by parents for parents to get you high-quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policies in less than 10 minutes. They got flexible policies that fit your family's budget, with quality policies like $1 million coverage for less than $1 a day. You can get your personalized quote in just minutes and then apply whenever it is convenient for you, all online and to your schedule. You go from start to covered in less than 10 minutes with no health exam required. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/stockexchange. That is meetfabric.com/stockexchange. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions. Well, Steve was reading that ad on the PFF show, and I almost said at the end of it, I was like, if you go to meatfabric.com, yes, it just takes you to the stock exchange link. Yes. It just takes you to the stock exchange channel, which we actually still need
to get. We're probably a little different than Sam and Steve when it comes to horsing around. Just my guess.
When it comes to meat fabric references.
Meat umbrella.
I had wings today. I did the meat umbrella.
You did the meat umbrella at the Bounty Station.
I'm not going to lie, not tooting my own horn here or anything, I'm getting pretty good at the technique.
Really?
We're almost getting like all the meats off of it.
The juice is worth the squeeze?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I might adopt it.
At the Combine, if I get wings, I'm going to do a YouTube short that we're going to put on the channel and just like behold the meat umbrella.
Meat umbrella.
Yeah.
It's a new content lane for us.
It could go off. I mean, it'll be by far the most viewed thing that we ever have on the channel because the rest of it's nonsense.
I would think so. And then everybody here lining up for the wings doing the meat umbrella.
Yeah. And then people mass unsubscribe from the podcast because they don't need anything else, right?
And our power goes out.
We've given them everything.
We can't afford Christmas gifts anymore. We just have to make mock drafts every 3 hours of the day.
Minnesota Vikings are at 11. He's got Jared Verse going to the Vikings. So
sweet.
Defensive end, a big need for them. Heavy-handed, 5 technique, 3-4 defensive end. I love that Verse is consistently getting that top 15 love because I think he deserves it.
I think so, too. I think this was an easy one.
Yep. I think that, you know, people do look at corner for this team, and we see some corner picks for Minnesota. I have a hard time believing they're not going to take defensive line or quarterback at number 11.
Yeah.
I have a really hard time.
That's
especially
my lean as well.
Given the investments that they've made in the secondary, it's almost like you just kind of got to wait for those guys. Not that it's complete or anything, but I think it's going to be defensive line or quarterback. Here they go, Jared Verse in the defensive line. Denver Broncos, national championship quarterback, got to give him his respect,
right?
J.J. McCarthy as QB4 off the board to the Broncos. We always are like, what is Sean Payton going to do at 12?
He's going to take a quarterback.
Here he has him going McCarthy.
I agree. I don't know if it'll be McCarthy. I think that all three, McCarthy, Penix, and Knicks are in play.
Man.
But I think Sean Payton's going to take a quarterback. I've heard a lot of rumblings behind the scene that they are just – fully immersed in scouting this class.
They have to be.
Yeah.
They told Russell Wilson to hit the
Get
bricks.
Lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kick rocks.
Jump.
Jump.
I heard that was the direct quote.
Yeah, you got to throw the chump in there. Yeah. You have to.
Whenever There's you no like room. Pause after saying something a little rude and then say chump, it takes from a 4 to an 11. Like, move aside.
Sarcastically calling somebody like sport, you know, like oh, that's man. Another one, demoralizing. Yeah. You're like, what'd you call me? You like have to bow up yeah. after that.
Big man.
You're like, oh, you call me yeah. chump? Yeah, yeah. Big, man.
Big,
yeah
man, big man. Big man, depending on
oh,
the voice
watch
tone.
Out, big man. It's like, yeah. what?
It's like, dude, take it easy. McCarthy at 12.
I mean, we're 6'4", 240 though.
Right.
So
our chairs are so low.
We can't be bone. Yeah. Yes. I mean, this is like
just
many
so the
feet
room,
down on the ground.
The
yeah. People
works.
Don't realize what's going on behind the scenes. So Lance says in
here.
His blurb, NFL evaluators described McCarthy's processing as quote elite
Man.
In my conversations with him.
I don't think he plays like that.
I didn't think
maybe
he
on a board. I have never sat with JJ McCarthy.
I don't think that he. I'm not going to sit here and say that he doesn't have a high football IQ.
No.
He's obviously like a football lifer. Jim Harbaugh absolutely loves him and trusts him with a lot of stuff. But like the getting to progressions, feeling the pressure, we've talked about that. That is still a work in progress
right.
to me. It was better this year, but that is still a work in progress to me. But I guess if you have faith in his football IQ, you have faith that that's going to get better as well.
I think I walk away from that pick with two thoughts. McCarthy is going in the first round of this draft, as we've kind of been hinting at for a while.
Yeah.
Denver's taking a quarterback. It'll see how that all take shape at the end.
No quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders at 13. It's Byron Murphy II, the interior defensive lineman from Texas. He is DT1 off the board. I mean, they definitely need interior defensive tackle.
Yeah.
So this one does make sense.
Yeah. I would kind of like Newton there a little bit better because of his power profile, but mm-hmm. the thought of Murphy and Max Crosby rushing together against the quarterbacks in this division is enticing.
Yeah, I mean, Murphy strong in his own right, but is a little bit lighter than Newton is.
He's more of
so.
A gap shooter to me.
He does, yeah. I mean, he is a lot
Which,
of that.
Which, hey, Kalijah Kancey was that, and it was awesome.
I know, man. I think people are going to look at Murphy, and they're going to be like, this is a little bit of a bigger it's Kalijah Kancey feel, but you don't have as much size
Kancey
concerns.
Kancey was small for
right,
the position.
Correct.
It was a total outlier.
He was like six, what was it, 6 foot flat, 280?
Yeah.
And I think Byron's going to be like 6'1", 6'2", 290. I don't want to like totally.
Wonder what Michael Bennett was. That's the kind of player I feel like Murphy.
I think Michael Bennett was bigger.
He might have been bigger.
Wasn't he? Hold, yeah. Hold on.
Murphy's listed 308. That would surprise
Texas
me.
Texas listed him at 308? Whoa, I thought he was like mid-200s.
I mean, he just looks so athletic.
If he shows up to the combine and he's like even like 300 flat, then we're good to go.
Probably where he's going to be.
Then we're good to go.
Test off the charts.
Yeah. Former Feldman freak list. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I want to see him bench. He's not going to do it, though.
Nobody benches anymore.
I know.
Nobody benches anymore. They just do it at the pro day.
Byron Murphy, if you're out there and you're watching.
We're rooting for you to bench.
Bench.
We'll spot you.
We'll spot you.
We'll literally spot
one of us will do. You can spot him, and I'll do.
You'll do the
lockout.
Yep.
Lockout.
You count the reps.
Warning. Lockout.
Good rep.
Good rep.
One more.
It's my favorite
one more.
Part of the combine.
One more.
Is doing the show, and he's yelling in the background.
Yep.
Just like
yep.
yeah, the guy's just like he.
One more.
We
have to request him as a guest.
Do you remember when Damian Pierce did it the other year?
Yes.
And he almost failed it, and the guy almost took it from him. He's like, don't take that bitch.
Yeah.
And then he did. And then
yeah,
he did
that's when
I
knew
rep.
Pierce was a real one.
That's when you knew. Yeah,
yeah.
That's when you knew. He was
going to
be an NFL star. Latu for the New Orleans Saints and number 14.
I like
14.
This fit a lot.
This is now becoming like a classic fit.
Yes.
This is a classic fit.
Yeah,
here.
Very PB&J in the draft.
Yes.
Yeah.
They need you. So it does not seem like they're moving on from Derek Carr. I think the quarterback conversation for this draft is you got to put it to rest.
Yeah.
And I think edge rusher is net. I think it's edge rusher offensive tackle, which Olu was on the board at this point.
Yeah, this is getting – so me and you have not read this yet, so we don't know when he's going.
No.
We'll obviously cover it heavily when we get there.
Maybe he doesn't go. If he doesn't go in the first round, we'll call Lance on the phone.
Yes.
We'll get him on the phone.
And he'll say,
we'll make
this?
Him answer the question.
Yeah.
My number will already be blocked.
Yeah.
So then you'll have to call him.
Yes.
No, we love Latu.
Speaking of PB&J picks, how about 15?
Yeah, Colts, Brock Bowers. I mean, it's either Brock Bowers or Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah.
Like if you are
Quinyon is so their corner.
Yes. That's why if you are a like draft specific player team kind of betting, if you can get that anywhere right now. Brock Bowers or Quinyon Mitchell, I think one of them is going to be available for him.
Yeah, they'll do the markets usually where position group, so it could be like Colts to take a DB and it could be plus 200 or whatever. Colts to take a tight end, you could bet on that.
Yes.
Usually when those markets open, they're never open this early, but I think they're very predictable.
I just need to say this, and I'm not saying this is a victory lap. I'm saying this is a we tried to warn people. There is a picture going around social media of Brock Bowers when he was at Super Bowl Media Day yesterday, and he's standing next to Rob Gronkowski. And Brock Bowers looks like he could be a podcaster.
Right.
I mean, he's small.
The picture, though,
doesn't do it. Like
he popped over on Sims, and I was on our set next to him, and he's jacked. Like he's built.
No.
Strong.
I think he's a dense dude. Like
yeah.
He looks like clearly when he blocks at his size,
right.
It looks like it hurts. And yards after catch, he's got great contact balance. All this. I'm not taking any of that away from him. But even going back to the summer scouting, you and I brought this up on the show. Georgia's got him listed. We think he's an all-world tight end because he is. He's a great talent. He's
yep.
an offensive weapon. Georgia's got him listed at 6'4", 240 pounds.
Yeah.
Schools lie in the wrong direction. I bet he shows up close to 240 because
so
he has to.
Yeah.
But I bet he played a little bit below 240,
so
and I bet he's 6'3". All of those percentiles would be very much below 50th percentile for a tight end.
You're absolutely right. And maybe that's how he falls to 15.
I'm just saying. Not that he's not going to be a good NFL player.
Oh, no.
But you got to think about that when you draft him and how you project how he's going to be used. Seattle Seahawks, they go, Lance has them going Dallas Turner, the edge rusher from Alabama.
I liked his explanation.
His explanation, quote, I would love to give the Seahawks a tackle guard with good toughness and above average run blocking ability in Troy Faunau, but I can't see them passing on a pass rushing talent like Turner here.
Fair.
I think that's totally fair. If Turner makes the 16, I think he would be higher on their board than Fontenot.
I like the steps those Seattle's young pass rushers took this year. Boye Mafe had a nice year.
Me too, but I still think
Turner's different.
Turner has the path to be
Turner's
edge one.
Different. That's why.
Yeah.
It's a talent pick here at 16.
Yep. Jacksonville Jaguars, Quinyon Mitchell. This is where Quinyon goes off the board. DB secondary is a need opposite where Tyson Campbell is. So being able to play that outside spot, that's two lockdown corners. You got Andre Sisko in the back as well.
Physical corners.
This would be, another corner like that. You've got a lot of really talented young pieces on that defense. This is basically it. A lot of the rest of your picks are going to be dedicated to offense. So, it sounds like you like this one.
No argument for me. You have two physical outside cornerbacks. You bring back Josh Allen on a contract extension. There's some real pillars on this defense.
So here we go. Lance, if you're watching, we don't have to give you a call here because Olu Fashanu going 18 to the Cincinnati Bengals. So this is where the Olu slide stops. It's still in the top 20. But he says that Fashanu's got good size and length, plenty of upside, but he still has work to do to reach his potential. I think that he's obviously talking about the run blocking ability going up against more power rushers. We saw him struggle with that against Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau from Ohio State. And so him sliding all the way to 18, I think it's a shock kind of for us. But what do you think about the fit here with the Bengals if it happens?
I mean, you never rule out draft slides because there's information we just don't have.
Yeah,
Fashanu. So Jonah Williams is set to hit free agency. He was their right tackle this year.
Right tackle, right.
So in this scenario, I'm assuming Orlando Brown stays on the left side and Fashanu moves to the right.
They're not going to – I mean, you paid Orlando Brown to play left tackle for
I
him,
don't
so.
Like that. I'm not moving Fashanu to the right side. He's a two-year starter on the left side.
Can't wipe his butt with his opposite hand?
No. You know what it is? The Bengals, that you have to make this pick here. You need offensive line help still. He's amazing. The talent's worth it. He's a top-10 player to me.
Yeah.
It's just tough. It's really tough. I still think...
Curious how far Mims is after this.
Right.
Like, was Mims in this conversation for 18?
Probably not. We've liked that.
Probably not over Fashanu,
no.
Right? With Fashanu who's still on the board.
But
exactly, because he gets to play that right tackle. So.
And, you have some nasty run blockers there in Cincinnati, so you can kind of deal with Fashanu's shortcomings in that area, maybe.
Yeah.
That's a thought there, but you're getting a pretty good pass protector.
You're getting a very high ceiling, pass rusher or pass protector for sure. Los Angeles Rams at 19, Nate Wiggins, the corner from Clemson. So, I was talking with people the other day about, what did the Rams do? Really good year this past year.
Yeah.
A lot of young guys played really well. Kobe Turner, your boy, Byron Young, obviously Puka Nacua.
Oh,
Kyron Williams, not a rookie, but playing really Steve Avila, obviously in that starting lineup too. So a lot of young guys getting a lot of big playing time, but I still lean towards those premium positions. Whoever you like the most at offensive tackle, pass rusher, or outside corner,
100%.
Whoever's highest on your board, I feel like that's the way you got to go.
100%. You and I are really high on Nate Wiggins. Just the length. He's somebody that can play physical. He's got great straight line speed.
Yes.
Yeah, this one, for the Rams at 19 here, it was kind of Wiggins or the guy that goes next off the board, Amarius Mims of the Steelers.
Yeah, so here it is. The Steelers taking Amarius Mims. The Georgia offensive tackle connection continues. You got Broderick Jones on the left. You got Amarius Mims on the right, just like it was when they won that national championship 2 years ago. So, look, I think that this is certainly within the realm of possibility as well. They need interior offensive line, and they need corner. So whether it's tackle, whether it's a guy like Troy Fontenot or maybe a Jackson Powers Johnson or whoever they like at outside corner, that's where I would go. So no arguments here for me with the Amarius Mims. Grant Barton going to the Dolphins at 21. I like it. So I like what Lance says here, too. Barton is one of the safest linemen in the draft, offering great body control, legitimate multi-position flexibility. He has the talent to step in as a starting guard or center on day one. I agree, man.
Miami needs that. Miami,
yes.
They desperately need to beef up or fix that interior. Well, not fix. They're going to lose some guys in free agency, possibly. They're dealing with some injuries on the interior. Barton's flexibility to move across those three spots is phenomenal.
So I wonder what they think of Tyler Guyton at this point, because, dude, I mean, Teron Armstead's health. I mean, he's getting beat up every year.
Yeah, every year.
He could legitimately retire this year. He could retire next year.
Right,
like,
he's just gotten through it.
And so if Guyton is high on their board at all, I feel like he would be the pick over Barton. But let's say they don't love Guyton. They think it's more of a long-term project kind of a thing. The Dolphins are clearly in a winning window, and this is a guy that, like Lance said, plug-and-play type of interior offensive.
Well, back to your point, how about Fatnow in that spot then?
Yes.
Because he could start for you at guard and maybe be your long-term tackle.
Yep. Philadelphia Eagles at 22. He has him going Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback
from
Alabama.
So badly.
So this is obviously where the corner run is happening. We've got Terrion's off the board, Quinion Mitchell's off the board. Who just went? Nate Wiggins just went, and now Kool-Aid is going.
No Cooper DeJean yet.
No Cooper DeJean yet. Slander, Lance. Slander. We're going to have to talk about this at the combine. So, anyways. Now, Philadelphia Eagles, major need in the secondary. This
McKinstry's great in press. He's physical.
When we did our mock draft, our post-Senior Bowl mock draft, one of the big responses that we got was, like, Eagles fans, and they were like, we like Tyler Guyton, but who's playing? Like, can he play corner? And it's like, well, I mean, he might be able to. Like, for offensive tackles that have the chance to play corner, he actually might. But
he has the best chance.
I understand their criticism, and here they get a corner. So I think that the Eagles fans will obviously be happy about that one. Chop Robinson does get in the first round, 23 overall to the Houston Texans. He mentions that with Jonathan Greenard set to hit free agency, him on one side, Will Anderson Jr. on the other, if they don't bring back John Greenard.
Rushers.
Yeah, but high ceiling rushers.
Yes.
High ceiling rushers, for sure.
Good technique, speed to power, chop coming out, you know, all athleticism.
All athleticism, which does worry me. We've talked about it on this show. But if you lose Greenard, edge is a need.
100%. And, so, you know, Lance obviously super plugged into the Houston area.
Correct.
Maybe they're going to let Greenard test free agency. If that's the case, then 23 in D'Amico Ryan's defense has to be pass rusher, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, that's I think
that's
Lance's connection. What happens if they lose Greenard? I think that that's all into that as well. So you're right. You're right. I think that's something that they got to fill immediately. Cowboys. I like this pick.
It's
this is
awesome
a good one,
one,
right? This is where Troy Fontenot comes off the board, the offensive tackle for Washington, who we believe is going to be a guard or center at the next level. Really, really good football player. Tyler Smith is playing left guard for them now.
Right.
Playing it well, I will add. But with, did I say that right? Tyler Smith is playing left guard.
Yeah.
Tyron Smith, their left tackle, who knows how much longer,
he's a free agent.
Who knows how much longer he's going to play anyways. And so you could kick Tyler Smith out to left tackle because he played there at Tulsa. You could move Troy Fontenot right into left guard if you wanted to. So I do like that part of this pick.
Fontenot just fits the Cowboys' identity. You know, they want to be a team that can
crop tops.
Run the hell out of the football.
Crop top. Yeah.
Tough, nasty. You can move. You can play multiple positions on the offensive line. At 24 almost feels like almost the furthest he can go when you look at the Miamis and the Seahawks in front of him.
Yeah.
Fontenot is really highly regarded.
And the Steelers, too.
And the Steelers.
Right?
I mean, he's really highly regarded.
And the Jags.
The Bengals.
I mean, yeah, like you look at Seattle, Jacksonville. Bengals need more of a tackle, so
right.
I get it if he's not as high on their board. But, like, Steelers, Dolphins. I don't think the Texans, because they played a little bit better than we thought they were, and they've invested some in the interior offensive line. But then you mentioned Cowboys. Yeah, I think that probably is his floor. So Here he reaches it at 24, but 25 Green Bay Packers.
And there he goes.
They go Tyler Guyton here. What do you think about this one?
I think it makes sense when you look at, obviously, Cooper DeJean's our favorite pick in this spot.
Mm-hmm.
But just speaking to the direction Lance went in with Guyton, Guyton's loaded up with traits. He's got some of the best traits of the tackles in this class.
Yeah.
He's got really good feet.
Super competitive.
He needs to play super, super competitive. Green Bay is excellent at developing raw offensive linemen. So he is their type, especially from a measurables perspective.
Yeah. I wonder if there are, if they feel like they're all right at tackle anyways.
They got surprising performances from a lot of different players in that regard.
I think their offensive line played better without Bakhtiari than people believe.
Right.
So
and they could also go back to that well on day two if they want.
Right.
I really just love the Cooper DeJean fit to this team.
I do too, man. I think that would be an excellent choice for them. But we'll see. I think we'll probably learn a little bit more about what the Packers might do once free agency kind of rolls around. You know, John Runyon's a free agent. I know he's more of an interior offensive line guy, but does that mean there's going to be some shakeup there? So, Tyler Guyton, good player. Wonder if he ends up going 25 when it's all said and done. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Ennis Rakestraw Jr., the corner from Missouri. He mentions, you know, Bucs head coach Todd Bowles loves to create havoc up front, stay tight outside. Rakestraw absolutely fits that. I agree. He played that off coverage style. You let him keep everything in front of you. He's great at triggering downhill. He is a willing run defender. He's not quite a Cooper DeJean against the run, but he is such a good willing run defender. And I think when you looked at how inconsistent Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean were last year, it's hard to think like, oh yeah, we're good to go.
Right.
Like, wow, we're
right.
good to go. We're good. We don't need any kind of insurance there. And so I feel like this is a possibility for them.
So what have we seen since pick six? A constant run on O-line and corner. Constant run on O-line and corner. I wonder how many picks since 6 to 26 have been those positions.
Well, let's do that right
From
now.
6 to 26.
So let's go. Okay, all right. 1, 2, 3, 4, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11.
And you missed one.
Did I miss one?
Yeah, I think it's 12.
Okay,
From
12.
6 to 26.
12 O linemen and corners.
Half the picks.
Yeah. And that's a sweet spot, man.
Right?
I think that's a sweet spot. I do think that's a sweet spot there. So, Bucs going to Ennis Rakestraw Jr. I think that's well within the realm of possibility to happen. 27 Arizona Cardinals.
O line again.
Jackson Powers Johnson. This is where JPJ comes off the board.
Man, what a rise for him. I mean, he looked great in Mobile.
Yeah.
Everybody loves that 330-pound build on the interior of the offensive line.
He
moves well. He's tough as hell. You can't move him backwards. Arizona, I know some of their fans didn't like when we had Graham Barton going to them,
mm-hmm.
the idea of an interior offensive line pick. Maybe they'll like this player better.
Yeah.
I look at Arizona's line, though, and I would still beef up that line. And he's one of the safer players in the draft, maybe, Powers Johnson.
So, talent-wise, I would agree. I did talk to some people this week who were like, he might have some injury stuff.
That's the not safe part. You're
that
right.
That might get flagged at the combine.
Yes.
So,
and Lance highlights he had a nagging hamstring in Mobile.
Yeah, yeah. So I just wonder if, because I heard a little bit of that this week. And so JPJ... felt him and Quinion Mitchell were the biggest risers within the first round since Mobile. I wonder if this changes a little bit and we start to cool on him if the combine comes around and something gets flagged and it gets publicized.
Crunk off the Senior Bowl?
If he...
I got to pitch at the Jim Nagy next year.
Crunk off the Senior
Bowl. Hear me out. Hey, the hats. You know the players get hats?
Yes.
Crunk off the Senior Bowl.
The crunk starts in Mobile?
Yeah, there we go. That's it. Imagine he's just like,
yeah, he'll go for that for sure.
Please don't show up next year.
Buffalo Bills at 28.
No credential for you.
Did they do the right thing? They did. Lance has him going with a wide receiver. It's Brian Thomas Jr.
Dynamite
I was just
pick.
On with Buffalo radio station this morning, and you know, they were like, oh, you know, if it's not wide receiver, then it's wrong, essentially. And obviously they're joking around, but
respect.
They know that they're going to lose Gabe Davis in free agency.
Right.
He is most likely out of there, and they've got to get somebody – to be a compliment with Stephon Diggs, because like we've said for a couple of these teams, their winning window is still open. Now, it's kind of towards the tail end, but that just means that you maybe have to hit the gas a little bit harder. So you love Brian Thomas Jr. Getting him at 28 feels like a big steal for you.
I think he's a top 20 player. I think if you liked the idea of Jalin Hyatt's speed last year, this is a bigger, stronger, more polished kind of guy in that regard. He's an acrobat. He can high point. He's got easy gas to win over the top. him and Josh Allen, I mean, there's a chance he could have the best rookie wide receiver season in this scenario playing with Josh Allen.
Yeah. I think that it would be a fantastic combo putting him in that offense. And you mentioned the big arm that we saw with Jaden Daniels this past year and how willing he was to attack deep down the field, the rise that was Brian Thomas Jr. because of that. That's the role that I think Khalil Shakir can be, that underneath guy.
Yes.
I think that Dalton Kincaid is evolving to that as well. They have Dawson Knox too. Stephon Diggs is kind of a do-it-all player for them, but they need that vertical threat. And I think that that can that could be Brian Thomas Jr., no question about it. I got to talk about our friends over at DraftKings. We got a couple of picks left here in this mock draft. The leader in fantasy sports, they just dropped a brand new fantasy app. It's called Pick 6. Pick 6 is the newest way for you to get in on the fantasy football game with DraftKings. You just pick between 2 and 6 NFL players, choose if they're going to have more or less of a stat. Very, very simple. For example, will a player have more or less than 100 rushing yards? Will a player have more or less than one touchdown? You track your lineup. You compete against other people for a shot at huge cash prizes. You download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now. Sign up with the promo PFF. That is promo code PFF. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Valid only in states where DraftKings Pick 6 operates. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, please visit dkng.com/pick6. Void where prohibited. See terms and pick6.com at DraftKings.com. So this one, speaking of Senior Bowl risers, see this one? Detroit Lions?
I did.
We're getting Darius Robinson in the first round. Defensive lineman from Missouri.
He is flying.
So, I don't know if I love him in the first round for even most teams.
Right.
I don't mind it for Detroit. Because you have Aiden on the other side.
Yes.
You need another edge rusher. You got to lean McNeil in the middle.
Right.
He's going to be able to play that heavy hand, 5-tech, 4-3 dude who can switch in and out. You know they're going to love him. You know this regime's going to love this dude because of the power profile that he has as an edge player who used to be an interior defensive lineman. If it's going to happen in the first round, this is at least a pick where I'd go, okay, all right, I don't hate this landing spot.
Totally agree with you. I think they would love his ability to play up and down the line because it allows you to move a lot of people around. You can ask a lot of this guy. He can hold the interior. He can rush off the edge. You're 100% right, Trevor. Will Darius Robinson be a top 30 player in this draft for either of us? I would be really shocked.
Yes, I would be shocked.
Is him going to the Lions a really good fit and makes sense? I think so.
Yep. Yeah, and sometimes that's what it's about, right?
And maybe the Lions can flip out of this spot, let a team get that fifth-year option quarterback with this pick, and still get Darius Robinson with more draft assets.
Well, I mean, that's a great transition because we mentioned at the top of the draft, we can't see the Patriots going into next year with Mac Jones or Bailey Zappe. Well, they don't. Here, even in this mock draft, they got Marvin Harrison Jr. at number 3, and now Lance has the New England Patriots trading back up into the first round to get that fifth-year option on Bo Nix.
For a guy that looks like Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe put together.
Come on. Don't do that to me. Man.
No, I mean, listen, they didn't take their quarterback in the top 5 of the draft, which is a little shocking, but he still gets an answer for them in the first round, right? And I think New England, we don't know a lot about life after Bill, but this is a scenario I wouldn't entirely rule out.
The entire staff is the same, so I feel like it's going to be the same, just without
this
Bill.
This would be a very Bill strategy.
You see, I believe it's his youngest son who coaches safeties. Like, they retained him.
They did keep him.
Yeah.
Steve
is with Washington now.
In a wicked promo. Did you see the picture?
The wrestling promo?
Oh, my God.
The backyard wrestling promo?
I would sign my letter of intent. I'd put on the Washington hat immediately.
It looks like he's about to defend the Intercontinental Championship at some backyard wrestling at some sports bar in your local hometown.
Like WCW more than WWE.
Like, they're lighting the ring in the parking lot with car headlights. Like, that's what we're talking about here. This is the caliber of a wrestling promo that we just put together for Steve Belichick.
Everybody watching probably realizes right now there's like a ton of cameras and media people here. And yeah, they are here for the NFL Stock Exchange now.
They're obviously all here for that.
Yes.
All of the other interviews that they're doing, they're killing time because they know that we're doing the episode now. We told everybody, like, hey, we're not available at this time.
Yeah, give us a little.
Go do the other, pointless interview. We're kidding. It's not pointless interviews. But, we get Bo Nix here to the New England Patriots, number 30, a little trade up. Kansas City Chiefs at 31. Roman Wilson.
Round one.
This idiot
did some, I think it was with the Jets. I did a team media where I called him like my favorite fourth round player.
When did you do this?
It was before his big
Senior Bowl?
Day.
Okay.
It was at Senior Bowl.
God, if it was after the Senior Bowl, I would have been like, buddy, you got to hit me up.
You tape it. I think it was after one practice. So he had a good day.
He did have a good
day. Then the second day, he was so good, he didn't need to show up for day three.
I think.
So everybody's like, of course, they don't release that till later. And everybody's just tweeting at me, Roman Wilson's not going in the fourth round, like, dipshit. Like, and I'm like, I'll take the L.
Well, sure, now.
Now
yeah.
He's 31 to the Chiefs. They had Troy Franklin, Devontae Walker, A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy.
Lad.
Ricky Pearsall.
No, look, I think that...
Slick Rick Pearsall?
Slick Rick.
Respect Slick Rick.
All right, so, look, I don't think that Roman goes in the first round.
I don't either.
However... Feels like it, top 50 absolutely in play for this guy.
It does.
He's got legit track background speed. His mom was a former track sprinter. He's got 4.3 speed that he's run before.
4.3s.
He has been on the receiving end of a lot of Michigan's vertical passes over the last couple of years, this year especially. But I think what teams love about him, he played for that Jim Harbaugh program, and he blocks his ass off, man. He's smaller,
he's
but pound for pound, he is tough. He had a couple of really nice contested catches this year that he put out there on film, and so I think teams are going to love Roman Wilson for everything that he brings to the table. So seeing him at 31, man, that's the highest that I've seen Roman Wilson yet, but I don't think it's totally shocking because I think that he is going to be a second-round pick somewhere at worst. So.
Do you think how the league missed on Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Yes.
They kind of correct themselves,
yes, no,
right?
This is a really great point by you. We are at the point where Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall, Malik Washington, Washington, another small receiver that I just forgot in this class, Ladd McConkey, like the NFL, if you can get open – they're going to draft you.
Right.
And I think we're going to see it in this class. I think we're going to see
100%.
It. 100%. And so that's why I think you see a little bit of a bump here because you mentioned Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's a big case for this. What Tank Dell was able to do before he got hurt last year. You know, it's like
Jaden Reed?
Jaden Reed, right. A little bit smaller of a dude, having a lot of success in Green Bay. So I think that there is evidence mounting that you don't have to be. It is a big person's league. It always
6'4",
will
240.
Be. But you don't have to be. If you get open and you catch the football, great. We're going to draft you. Last pick of the draft, I'm glad that Lance made this because I think it's a good conversation starter. San Francisco 49ers, they don't go offensive line. They do go tight end, so I don't think it's George Kittle replacement or anything, but an X-factor type of a player in that offense, it's Texas tight end Jatavion Sanders. I'm not taking Jatavion Sanders over Brock Bowers, but I recently did the tight end position for the first iteration of the draft guy that's going to come out, and Jatavion's probably going to be a top 50 player for me.
He's really good.
He's very, very talented.
Straight line speed, ball skills.
Dude, I don't even think just straight line speed. Like when he
lateral
puts his dude,
quickness.
This guy can run routes, man. At his size too.
Look at the offense he was in. There was so many pieces of the pie being cut up. You know, you had A.D. Mitchell, Worthy, Whittington.
Yes.
And then Jonathan Brooks was a big part of that offense.
Yep.
Just in terms of volume, and he got hurt.
Yep.
I mean, it's not like Sanders was just getting all these layup targets.
There was a
there lot
were layup targets
around.
To have.
No, right. So he's a projection guy where it's like, yeah, it's probably going to be better at the next level.
Agreed. And that's what I saw on his tape, man. The movement skills for him at his size, he's a former 5-star recruit. And look, recruiting stars aren't always the tell-all, but generally, if you're a 5-star recruit,
you're a great athlete.
You're an athlete.
Great
you
athlete.
Are good of an athlete enough to be to have that label, and Jatavion Sanders absolutely is. So there we go. That is Lance Zierlein's mock draft over at NFL.com. Go check it out. Click on it. Support Lance. He's, like we said, one of the best guys in the business, a good friend, friend of the podcast. And so, we would love to hear what you guys thought of this mock draft, of our reactions here, maybe some changes that we said that we were going to make. Best way to do that, of course, hitting us up in the comments section, youtube.com/@NFL Stock Exchange. We are up over 21,000 followers.
Wow.
We say this every time. We can't believe it. Y'all are just absolutely the best. We love this community that we are building, whether it's the mock draft episodes, the ranking episode, whatever. Y'all are in the comments, and it's great comments. We see y'all shouting out the show, and we really, really appreciate it. But we also love when people are like, hey, like, I would have changed this pick to that, because, again, we say this all the time, it's not just our podcast, it's y'all's podcast as well. It's a space for us to all talk about the NFL draft together. That's why we do exercises like this. If you are audio only, you can still hit us up at Tampa Bay Trey, at Connor J. Rogers on X as well as Instagram. Connor, you got anything else before we get out of here?
No, we'll figure out what we're going to do next.
Yeah, what are you doing for the rest of the day? Are they going to make you the Chancellor of Vegas? You know, you went to the Golden Knights game, you went to the Sphere.
Yeah, no, just dinner tonight. Just dinner.
And some light gambling? Maybe some light gambling?
Maybe. I don't play cards.
Oh.
I only play roulette.
Okay.
And I don't play like a lot of roulette. But we'll see.
I was a little hot on a roulette table.
Were you?
Time, I'm not going to lie. Now, Here's the thing. It wasn't my money.
That's amazing. That's the best time to play roulette.
Zach Tantillo, who's our head of social at PFF, he was jonesing to get in on roulette. And when we teamed up, like when we like came together and we were like discussing what we needed to do, we had a hot streak. And I will say, I went to bed, and I think he lost it all afterwards. But, you know, when we were a team, it was strong.
You were the horseshoe.
We were on a bit of a heater.
By the way, the hoopla was for Josh Allen. I'm disappointed we didn't ask him what he thinks of Brian Thomas Jr. at 28.
Oh, we should have.
No, it literally was for Josh Allen.
Yeah, I see him walking there.
I'm sure he would love if us two idiots were like,
He's 6'4", 240.
I know. He would slide in perfectly.
He would.
Maybe next time.
The third host. Appreciate everybody watching and listening and following all the covers that we've had here at Super Bowl week. This is the only episode that we're doing this week. A lot of travel. Sorry, we love you guys, but it's the only one that we're able to do. Our families are starving, but it's our fault this time. We'll be back. We'll have two episodes for you. It kind of feels like it. We'll be back with you next week. We'll give you two really great episodes. Let us know what you want to hear. We're kind of in an in-between between now and the combine. We've got a little bit of flexibility. If you want us to get back to position rankings, let us know which position that you want to see next. We could do another no notes episode like we were talking about
we would love to do that.
So it could be a Q&A with you guys there.
Soon?
But yeah, we got to do quarterback soon.
We do.
I think we probably have to do quarterbacks before combine.
Probably.
Okay. So quarterback episode's coming, but let us know what you want to hear outside of that. I'm Trevor Sikkema. That's Connor Rogers. Thank you guys so much for watching and listening to the NFL Stock Exchange podcast. See you guys next week.